While women make up a small portion of the overall pilot population, they are valued contributors to flying. Dr. Peggy Chabrian is the president and founder of Women in Aviation International. She's a longtime aviation enthusiast and professional aviation educator. Dr. Chabrian is a 2,200-hour commercial instrument, multi-engine, and flight instructor pilot. He's been flying for more than 25 years. An international speaker and author as well, Dr. Chabrian will be joined by astronauts Bonnie Dunbar and Peggy Whitston as they discuss their careers in aviation. So please join me in welcoming a great friend of mine, somebody I've known for a long time, always full of enthusiasm, and on the EAA Board of Directors for 16 years, Dr. Peggy Chabrian.
I feel like I'm in a high chair, baby. Well, good evening. The program this evening is actually a part of the overall Women Venture program here at EAA Air Venture. It started 3 years ago, an idea that was generated actually by Pat Lupke, and she approached EAA and Women in Aviation with the concept, and we both thought it was a great idea. So again, this is year three. The program, and just to give you a couple quick highlights, we still have some events happening tomorrow. But it's an opportunity for the women who are here at Air Venture to get a chance to interact with each other, to see each other, and to encourage hopefully some of the women who may be here with a family member or friend and thinking, wow, all these neat airplanes and all this great involvement in aviation, maybe this is something I should try too. So this evening we have the Theater in the Woods program with our two lady astronauts who will be telling you about their aviation and space experiences. And then tomorrow morning at the Nature Center in the pavilion at 8 o'clock, we're having our Women in Aviation Celebrity Breakfast with several celebrities, including David Hartman's planning to join us in the morning. We also have some of the cast and crew from the new movie Pearl, which is being premiered tomorrow night at the Fly-In Theater. And we have country western singer, star, Aaron Tippin, who will actually be performing two of his patriotic songs at the breakfast tomorrow morning. So if you'd like to come, we'd like to have you. It's again at 8 o'clock in the morning at the Nature Center. Right after the breakfast, we ask all the ladies to head over to Aeroshell Square and be there for the picture of all the lady pilots, whether you are a student pilot, private pilot, airline pilot, or maybe you used to fly but don't anymore. We'd love to have you there as part of the picture of all the lady pilots here. And we're giving away a free t-shirt. If you didn't pick it up yet today, you can still pick them up tomorrow morning, either at the breakfast or on Aeroshell Square in the EAA membership tent. So just a little bit of information there about Women Venture. But tonight, we have two ladies that I'm going to be introducing to you. The first is Dr. Bonnie Dunbar. And Bonnie is a general aviation pilot and has been to Oshkosh a number of times. But she became an astronaut back in 1990, was one of the original eight female astronauts for the space shuttle program. She's a veteran of five space flights and has logged more than 1,200 hours in space and spent more than 50 days in space. She was a mission specialist on STS-89, a January 1989 launch on the space shuttle Endeavour to dock the space shuttle with Russia's Mir space station. Her first docking mission was back in 1995. In 93, she served as the Deputy Associate Administrator in the Office of Life and Microgravity Sciences at NASA headquarters. She holds a bachelor's and master's degrees in ceramic engineering from the University of Washington and received her doctorate in mechanical biomedical engineering from the University of Houston. She is a fellow of the AIAA and elected to the National Academy of Engineers in 2002. For 5 years, most recently, she was president and CEO of the Museum of Flight in Seattle. But just in the last several weeks, she's been transitioned to executive director of Wings Over Washington and is responsible for the museum's space gallery development and STEM education projects. As I mentioned, she's also a general aviation pilot and not a stranger here to EA Oshkosh. And I have to mention this, she was our cover girl in the 2007 January issue of Aviation for Women magazine. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Bonnie Dunbar.
Thank you. Hi.
Our second panelist this evening, Peggy Whitson. She's called NASA's most experienced astronaut with 377 days in space. She's a biochemistry researcher and made her first space station, space mission in 2002 as a member of Expedition 5. In 2007, she became the first female commander of the International Space Station when Expedition 16 was launched on October 10, 2007. The flight of space shuttle mission STS-120, commanded by female astronaut Pam Melroy, marked the first time that there were two female mission commanders for NASA being in orbit at the same time. Whitson has performed 6 career spacewalks, more than any other woman, and has a Bachelor of Science degree in biology and chemistry from Iowa Wesleyan College. She then went on to earn her doctorate degree in chemistry from Rice University in 1985 and is currently the chief of the astronaut office in Houston. Please join me in welcoming astronaut Peggy Whitson. Thank you, ladies, for being here. And I know, Peggy, you just flew in literally this afternoon, and your first time here at Oshkosh. And I know you haven't had a chance to see a whole lot, but maybe it would take just a minute and your first and the microphone is on, I understand.
Okay. Well, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot bigger than I realized. My husband has been telling me about it for years, and I thought I'd come visit this year, and he didn't bother to show up for some reason. I'm not sure what happened there.
So now you can tell them what you thought about Oshkosh. Oh, great. Well, one of the things people always want to find out, well, how did you become interested in going into space or the space program? Was there a particular event or in your life as a child, or what sparked your interest initially? And I'll leave it, whoever wants to answer that one first.
Okay, well, when I became interested, there was actually, this will age me, nobody flying in space. was born and raised in Eastern Washington State. You can go to the next slide. My parents homesteaded there after World War II. My father was a Marine, and this is kind of in memory of him. He passed away about 5 years ago, that served in the South Pacific with the 4th Marines. And I was the oldest of 4 kids. And my parents basically told us we could become anything we wanted to as long as we worked hard enough. And working is what you did on a ranch anyway, so that wasn't a problem. And that he felt that I was the oldest of 4 kids, 2 girls and 2 boys, that we had this wonderful future in front of us. Next slide. And so, next slide. So they moved into this really remote area, and these pictures show what it looks like from our front porch, except for the post office at the left. That's 5 miles away, but that hasn't changed much in 50 years or so. But I could walk out and see the mountains to the left, and those are the top 2 pictures, Rainier and Adams. And to the north, there really wasn't a whole lot. Those are Rattlesnake Mountains, except at night. At night, you could see the Milky Way. And when Sputnik was launched, my parents took me out to look for it. Oh. So, next slide. And I show these to young kids just to prove that I really was human and I grew up, because a lot of kids don't think you are anymore. So next, if you want to click that again, I think there are a few pictures in there. You know, just growing up, I really didn't know what a skirt was for a long time. But those are my 2 younger brothers on our favorite horse, Johnny. Next slide. And then still have a working ranch up until about 5 years ago. That's my dad in the center. And you know, being part of that crew was always something I grew up with, and being physical. And I just was inspired by space. Next slide. Wanted to fly, and I became an engineering student at the University of Washington. That's how I got introduced to the shuttle, and eventually went on to become an engineer for Rockwell, working on the space shuttle back in the 1970s. Next slide. That was the slide that got me into the shuttle project, by the way. And then I got enough money at Rockwell to learn how to fly. So this was my first flight airplane, the Grumman TR-2, and this was taken about 1977. Then I went to work for NASA as a mission controller, flight controller, and selected as an astronaut in 1980. Next slide. And got to fly in a little faster airplane, just not quite showing up there, and in a T-38, and then eventually got to fly.
Great. That was another slide. We're waiting. Oh, okay. All right. Peggy, how about you?
Well, it's actually kind of amazing how much Bonnie's story and mine reflect each other. If we go to the slides on mine, I was also raised in a very rural area, rural Iowa. And if you can bring up the first couple of, the second slide, I think, probably. Next. So I was raised on a farm in south central Iowa. Again, hard work and determination was, you know, the word of the day, every day. Next slide. The closest town had 11 people in it. Next slide. So growing up, I saw a lot more pigs and cattle than I ever saw people. Next. And like Bonnie, I did all the same things that kids do growing up, showing cattle and 4-H, water skiing, playing in the snow. Next. But when I was 9, I actually remember watching Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walk on the moon, and that was actually something kind of meaningful to me. I, you know, when you're 9, you want to be lots of different things, and I thought, wow, cool job. And I wanted to be other things, like a pilot or something else, or maybe a farmer, and I wasn't sure. Next slide. But in the first female candidates were selected in the year that I graduated from high school. So that was kind of when it became my goal to become an astronaut. Next slide. So I went to graduate school in biochemistry and started working immediately in a laboratory at NASA. I knew I always wanted to work at NASA, so I've always said I'd never had a real job. I worked on international partnerships in scientific areas initially, and then later as a project scientist for the Shuttle Mir programs. And interestingly, Bonnie and our background overlapped as she was training as a backup in the Shuttle Mir space program when I was in charge of the scientific projects that we were trying to get flown on the Mir space station. After 10 years of trying, I finally got selected as an astronaut. So that's how I got there.
Did you guys know each other then during that project?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I think she tried to take blood from me a lot of times.
Well, Peggy, what was your most memorable or funny experience, would you say?
Well, there are a lot of memorable moments on the space station. I lived up there for over a year on two different missions, and I want to just give you a flavor of some of those memorable moments. If you go to the next slide. And training for a space station flight takes 2 to 3 years, so there's lots of memories as a part of training. You know, everything that goes into that process is very memorable, and getting to know the crews as you work together for such a long period of time, it's very memorable. Next. Memorable enough that you're, and friendly enough that you're willing to take your picture in your underwear with your crewmates. Next slide. There's a lot of different pre-flight traditions that are very memorable. On one of my missions, I launched and landed on a shuttle, and the pre-flight traditions are very different than the pre-flight traditions in Russia. I launched and landed on my second flight on a Russian Soyuz vehicle, so I got to experience both of those memories. Next. Launch is, of course, memorable, whether it's on a shuttle or a Soyuz. The Soyuz, when it took off, it was a much kinder and gentler ride compared to the shuttle. The solid rocket boosters have a lot of vibration and energy associated with them, so that Soyuz launch was a little smoother because it's all liquid fuel. Once the SRBs come off, of course, it's a lot smoother on the shuttle. Next. The views of our planet are unforgettable. Next slide. There's everything from fires in Australia. Next. Different views of the Caribbean, coral reefs underwater. Next slide. Sand dunes in the Saharas, and then just different shapes formed by rivers. So it's all memorable. And landing is also memorable. As I said, launching on the Soyuz is kinder and gentler. Well, landing is kinder and gentler on a shuttle, trust me. I had quite an experience landing on the Soyuz after my second mission. Next slide. Probably the most memorable event, I had the pleasure of doing 6 different spacewalks, 1 in a Russian spacesuit and 5 in a U.S. spacesuit, and it is an incredible experience. Next slide actually shows a little bit of video from one of those spacewalks. It should, yeah, there it goes, it starts. That's the U.S. airlock on the International Space Station. Hatch was open and we were coming out. This is at the very front of the space station when we were first there. We were, Yuri and I were removing all the cables and connectors, and so it was pretty interesting to be out on the very front of the vehicle. It was kind of like Yuri compared it to that Titanic movie where they were standing out on the front of the boat with the, there's no wind going through your hair, but 17,500 miles an hour, you're moving by the Earth pretty fast. Here we are removing a cover. We had to move the pressurized mating adapter from one section to the other. And you can see, this is his helmet camera looking at me. That's a U.S. patch, so that was me. In this one, I'm in the foreground with the red stripes and he's in the background. And then one of the most spectacular things is being able to look around and see the view from there out in your own little spaceship. So that's actually probably the most memorable part of spaceflight.
All right, Polly?
Well, I'm going to talk about my memorable experiences kind of all together and talk about some of my flights. First slide. You know, for me, everything was memorable. I remember on my first flight, which was on Columbia, that was the vehicle I'd worked on when I was with Rockwell. In fact, I'd started working on, a materials engineer working on the thermal protection system back in the 60s as an undergraduate in the engineering department at the University of Washington. And then to launch on Columbia twice and be on the flight deck and see it come through reentry and all the systems working, it was really pretty memorable. But the shuttle's been just a workhorse, and that pride of being on the construction side and the flight side is very memorable for me. Next slide. And of course, it's the thermal protection system that has made it reusable, and that has allowed us to take so much to orbit and do it the way we do it, you know, 50,000 pounds both ways. Next slide. This is just one of my favorite slides because it shows, it's during launch before we separate from the SRBs, and you see both shock waves. So those people that ask, why are there two sonic booms at landing? Well, there are two shock waves that come off the front of the vehicle. Next slide. And of course, when the shuttle was first designed, we baselined that design back in 1972 before we'd finished out Apollo, and we designed it for eight people. And my first flight in 1985, we had eight people up, eight people down, sponsored by West Germany. We had two Germans on board and a Dutchman. And in fact, I'm going back to Germany in October for our 25 reunion. We're going to start out in Berlin for a week. Next slide. This was the picture taken on the first docking mission from the space station Mir, the Russian space station, looking back at us. And this was just a really tremendous moment because I'd actually been training in Russia for 13 months for the first docking between an American crew on their vehicle, Norm Thagard, back in, we started training in 94, and I was Norm's backup. And when he launched in, March. Yeah, March of 95, I came back and trained for 3 months to be on this mission to dock with the Mir and then do the biomedical evaluations on the crew. And so that shows the laboratory, the space lab in the payload bay. Next slide. We flew that lab built by ESA almost 15 or 16 times, and it was on three of my missions. So I looked at it as kind of a home. I felt very relaxed in there. I wish I could have stayed there and gone on the station for a long period of time. We did hundreds, if not thousands, of experiments. It's a great microgravity environment. But this is actually taken from my third flight, which was my longest flight, a 13-day flight, microgravity flight.